stirred. And I mentioned it last night. We get our heads down living life, and even sometimes trying to serve the Lord, we got our heads down. And don't we live in a generation where heads are down all the time anyway, right? You ever see that? All they ever see is the top of people's heads. We've got our heads down, and I think the devil's got us that way. Because if we'd actually take time to lift up our eyes and start looking at some things, like Brother Merle said, Paul looked at the city and his heart was stirred. Jesus told his disciples, lift up your eyes so their hearts could be stirred about the harvest. And boy, just personally something I'm praying about and dealing with. I need God to stir my heart. I really do. We all need God to stir our hearts. Preachers are just the same as you. I mentioned it last night, we can get into a rut sometimes where we're busy, we got our heads down, busy doing things, and we need God to stir our hearts. And I hope God stirred your heart last night. I hope God stirs your heart tonight. I hope you come back tomorrow morning and tomorrow evening and allow God to stir your heart again, because that's what we need in this missions conference. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, we pick up right where we left off. 2 Corinthians 8, we finished off the end of verse 8 where he talks about proving the sincerity of our love. Verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And we talked about that last night, that his charity and the fact that he gave of himself, and because of that we can experience the grace of God through Jesus Christ. Now we pick up in verse 10, and here's where we are tonight. Notice what Paul writes here. Verse 10. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, it is good to be saved, good to be in church on a Saturday night, and I thank you, Father, for those who are here tonight. Father, we have come to get our hearts stirred and to hear from you. And so, Lord, I simply ask, I don't even ask for power for myself, I simply ask for power upon your word. And that as I speak your word, as we read these scripture passages, that you would give weight to the words that are spoken, that you would honor your word above all else, that we'd be drawn closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we'd get our eyes set on you and on the right things. I do ask, Father, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in thy sight. For I ask and pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we pick up right where we left off on the subject, everybody's favorite subject, giving, right? Can you say amen to that? What are the two hardest things for a Christian to do? Give and forgive. Remember that, all right? Paul begins verse 10. He says, herein I give my advice. That is not just personal opinion. That is not just his own personal advice. Paul is writing as a Spirit-led writer of Scripture with the Holy Ghost hand upon him, giving him the words to speak. So when he says, I'm giving my advice, he's giving his advice as an apostle led by the Spirit of God. And he's about to give some instructions on the principles of giving. See, we read it in the passage. Paul said, you started a year ago. What was it they started a year old? They began, they started to prepare to give towards the work of God. But it dragged on for a year because they needed someone to give them some direction and some motivation. And that's exactly what Paul does in this passage. He gives them those two things. He gives them direction by instructing them on giving, and then he gives them motivation by simply saying, do it. Right? Perform it. Perform the doing of it. And isn't that what we need so often? We need direction and we need some motivation. Paul told Timothy that he needed to preach, and in his preaching he needed to include the instruction of righteousness. We need some instruction in righteousness. Don't just tell me go soul winning, show me how to go soul winning. Don't just tell me preach the gospel. Pastors, preachers, we need to instruct people on how to soul win and how to preach the gospel. Don't just tell me give to missions, instruct me on how to give to missions. Don't just tell me live holy, show me how to live holy. We need instruction in righteousness. But once you've been instructed, you know what some of us Christians need? We need a fire lit under us. Because some of us, we know what's right to do, but we need someone to climb up in our lap and preach to us and get us motivated and stirred up because we know what's right to do, we're just not doing it. And sometimes we need not just direction, but we need a little motivation. We need to be pushed a little bit. And so Paul, in this passage, gives them those two things. He gives them some direction by instructing them, and then he gives them some motivation in the fact that he says, now, you've been dragging out for a year. You know what you need to do. And I'm going to give you a little bit of instruction on giving. But he says, when he goes over all of it, he says, just perform the doing of it. Just get it done. And so Paul, in these verses, walks them through these principles of giving and at the same time encourages them, just give. Give as God's given to you. Now I want you to notice, let's walk through these principles here. Number one, we see that it begins with this. Here's where it begins. Verses 11 and 12. God provides. God provides. That's the foundation of giving. We give as God provides. Notice the end of verse 11. End of verse 11 says, that there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. So our giving comes out of that, the things that we have. He says also in verse 12, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath. So we give out of what we have. Well, where did we get what we have? Where did it come from? God gave it to us. See, our giving towards missions and our giving in our tithe and our giving towards the work of the Lord, it comes out of what God gives us. Notice verse 15. He says, as it is written, he that gathered. Well, where did he gather it from? He gathered it from what God provided. And in fact, when he says, as it is written, you know what he's quoting from? He's quoting from Exodus chapter 16. So let's go back to Exodus chapter 16. Because he's quoting from a passage and the story of Moses and the children of Israel. And he says, as each one has gathered. Well, what were the children of Israel gathering? So if you go back to Exodus chapter 16, look at verse 11. Exodus 16, verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna. For they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread, notice, the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. So God allowed, when the dew rested on the ground in the morning, and it began to evaporate, God allowed a bread to be provided for the children of Israel. And all they had to do was get up every morning, open the front of their tent, walk out, and gather what God had provided for them. Amen? Every day. Every day they had to get up, get out, and gather what God was providing for them. Their daily bread. Now those who didn't want to get up and get out of their tent, guess what? They got no bread. In fact, those who wanted to lay in bed until 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, and take their time and roll out of bed, guess what? By the time they got out there, the sun was out and the manna was gone. Right? Are you following me? So God says, I'm going to provide for you each day, but you've got to go out and gather it. And then Paul takes that same passage in Exodus 16 and he connects it to our giving. Follow me now. God provided for the children of Israel. And just like those manna-gathering Hebrews, you and I go out every day and we gather what God provides. And each one in this church, you're working some job. You've got some career. You've got some calling. You've got some living. And as God provides for you, you go out and gather what God provides for you. And from what God provides for you, we give to the work of God. Everybody with me so far? So that is the basis, that is the foundation of giving. We give from what God provides. So before we start thinking, you know, when your pastor talks about, hey, we're going to be talking about giving this weekend. And sometimes the inclination or the temptation is to start thinking, why should I give my money? Well, can we just be reminded tonight? It's not your money. And it's not my money. If we start to say, why is the preacher talking about my money? Sorry folks, it's not your money. Everything you have comes from God. And all you're doing is going out each day and each week and gathering what God provided for you. And those who would say, no, I'm a self-made man. I go out and with the sweat of my brow and with my hands, my feet, I go out and I work. Well, let me ask you, who allows your heart to beat? And who allows those lungs to breathe? And who allows those, who gave you the very health that you have to work and to provide for yourself and your family so that you can turn around and give to the work of God? Who gives you that health? Who gives you that strength? And who can take it away in any moment? It's God that provides. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Listen to what he said. He asked this question, what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? Do you understand what that verse is saying? Paul says, everything you have, you got from an outside source. It didn't originate with you. Everything you have, from your abilities, to your strength, to your health, to your job, to your house, your family, he says, what do you have that you didn't get from an outside source? And we know what that source is. He was talking about God. Everything you have comes from God. When David offered his offering just before his death so that the temple could be built by his son Solomon, you know what he prayed and said to the Lord? He said, for all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. Man, folks, I love giving time at our church. You might think I'm crazy. But it is worship time. And I encourage our people at our church. Every time I stand and I have people stand and we collect the offerings and these offering plates go out, I mean before the offering plates even get passed, I tell the people at our church, I said, take that offering in your hand and let's worship the Lord together. And I encourage our people, I say, hey, did God provide for you this week? Did God supply your needs? Yes, He did. All right, then let's give from what God has provided. Folks, giving is a privilege. God, I mean, from the money in the bank to the gas in the tank, God has provided our needs, has He not? Is God not good? I mean, He gives us a roof over our head, a bed to sleep in, food to eat. He puts shoes on our feet and clothes on our back. God is good in providing for us. And that is the foundation of giving. You know why it is the Bible Baptist Church can support 50 missionaries? You know why it is your pastor can say, let's increase, let's go beyond that? Because God provides for us. Do you realize as Americans, boy, I've lived outside of this country for many years, we are a blessed nation. We are a rich nation. I have sat in homes where there was nothing but a dirt floor and watched those people lay on that dirt floor and shiver and shake with malaria and dysentery. I've seen some of the worst of places, some of the worst of conditions. And yet you come to America and we are so spoiled, aren't we? I mean, we have it good. And yet we are, out of all the nations of the world, we've got the most depression, suicide. I mean, we're drinking, we're doing drugs, we're doing meth. I mean, you look at this nation, we've got an epidemic of drug use and alcohol use and teen suicide and depression. We got so many problems. Yet we're the richest nation. We're the most blessed nation. Why? Because we've forgotten who it is that gives to us. We've lost that gratitude and that awareness that everything we have comes from God. Our giving begins with this. God provides. And then notice, as He provides, here's the second word I want you to see. He provides in proportion. Now, you've got that passage there in 2 Corinthians 8. We read it, verse 15. Here's where he quotes from Exodus. In 2 Corinthians 8, 15, he says, "As it is written, he that gathered much had nothing over, he that gathered little had no lack." That's a quote from Exodus 16. Look at Exodus 16, verse 16. I want you to follow along here. Exodus 16, verse 16. This is the thing. Are you there? Hello? Everybody there? Exodus 16, 16. "This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating. An omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents." And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. You say, why some more, some less? Because some families are bigger than others. Some have more people in their tents than other tents. Some got a big tent and a lot of people in it. Some have a single tent with one person in it. Some gathered more, some gathered less. Each one equally what they needed. God provided for each one in proportion to what they needed. Verse 18, "And when they did mete it out," in other words, when they took it and measured it, "when they did mete it out with an omer, he that gathered much," here's what Paul's quoting, "had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating." So each one goes out, gathers enough for their family, some more, some less, depending on the size and the need of that home. But here's what is most impressive to me. Here's what is most relevant is that there was no lack. Amen? That's what Moses writes. That's what Paul reiterates. He said, as each one did their part, as each one went out each day and gathered, each need was met. And Paul now ties it into giving. And he says, if each one will gather in proportion and give in proportion, there will be no lack. Now follow me. Look at the condition of churches today and look at the condition of missions today. We are lacking. Amen? We need more missionaries on the field. I mean, we do not have enough missionaries in proportion to the world that needs to be reached. And right on the heels of that, we do not have enough giving that's going towards missions. There are not enough churches being started. We are way behind as a nation in trying to reach this world and seeing souls saved. I mean, what are we? We're at 8 billion now. I remember days when we were bragging about the fact that it's a 7 billion. We're now at 8 billion. And the population increases and increases and increases. But the problem is we as Americans and American churches, we're not increasing our giving. We're not increasing our investing. The world is growing, the world is expanding, and the need is growing, but we are not matching that need. There is a lack. Now hold on. God says that if each one gathers in proportion, and Paul ties it into our giving, that if we give in proportion, He promises there will be no lack. So there's one or two problems here. Either God's system is broken, God's program, God's promises are broken, or we're not following God's program. Now, which of those two do you think is correct? We know God's program's not broken, right? So we must not be following it, because God says, and listen, let's bring it right down to our level. God says at Bible Baptist Church, if each one is going out and gathering as God provides and bringing it into God's house and giving their tithes and giving their offerings for the support of missions, there will be no lack. So God provides. He provides in proportion. And then I want you to notice this. As God provides in proportion, you know what He's doing the whole time? He's proving. He's proving. Are you in Exodus 16? I'm not. I've got to find it again. I lost it. All right, let's see here. Exodus 16. I want you to notice this. This is so important for us to get a hold of. In Exodus 16, look at verse 4. Look at what God says to Moses about this whole system of gathering and giving. Exodus 16, verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day. Notice the next words here. That I may prove them. You hear that? God says, I'm setting up this system, Israel. I'm going to rain bread from heaven. I mean, you're going to walk out of your tents and there's going to be bread from heaven on the ground. And all you have to do is get a basket and go out and gather it. And I will use this system to feed the entire nation. But there was more to it. God says, this is not just about providing. This is not just about putting a meal on your table. Listen to me tonight. God says, this is not just about supplying and giving you food to eat and putting clothes on your back and shoes on your feet and gas in your tank and money in your bank. This is not what it's all about. He says, I'm doing this all for a purpose. I'm proving you. I'm testing you. You see, when it comes to finances, we kind of get off track because we just see it as numbers. We just see it as money coming in. We pay the bills. Money goes out. I mean, isn't that the way it is? We kind of get lost. I mean, there are radio shows. There are books that are written on it. There are podcasts you can listen to. You can YouTube all you want. And it's all about finances, money, how to manage money, how to be successful with money, how to make a profit. And it's all about money, money, money. You know what God says? It's not about money. You say, but it sure sounds like it's all about money. God says it's not about money. And guess what He told the children of Israel? It's not about manna. He says, I'm giving you manna to provide your needs, but it's not about the manna. He says, I'm going to use the manna to test you. You know what God's doing with the money He gives to you and the wealth He gives to you and what He provides for you? He says, I'm not just giving you money to feed your family. That's not where it ends. He says, I'm testing you. I'm testing you. Here's what God does. Each week, or every 2 weeks, or each month, however you get paid, or however it works in your life, God provides for you. You know what happens when you get that paycheck? Watch this. When you get that paycheck and you cash it or you deposit it in your bank, you know who's looking over your shoulder? God is. Your Heavenly Father is looking over your shoulder. Remember what we said last night? I know thy works. And every time you get that paycheck, every time God provides for you, He's not just thinking about paying your bills and keeping the lights on and putting food in your refrigerator. That's part of it. He's providing for you. But you know what else He's doing? He's proving you. And He's looking over your shoulder and saying, Matt, how are you going to spend that money? Matt, I know you got to pay your DTU bill and your consumer's energy bill, and I know you got to pay for your car insurance, and I see you paying those bills, but are you tithing it? Are you giving to missions? Man, how much are you giving to missions? See, my Heavenly Father is so interested in my life, and it's the same in your life, that He's not just worried about paying my bills and putting food in my refrigerator. He's actually giving me money because He wants to test my love and my obedience. Matt, and my faith, do you trust me enough to put me first in your finances? You know, I do a budget every month. You know what's the very first line item on that budget? Tithe. You know what's the second line item on that budget? Missions. Every month, without fail. God gets His first. You know why? Because I know I've got a Heavenly Father that He provides for me, but He's also testing me And he's wanting to see if I can, if I'm trustworthy. If he can give to me, and if I'm going to be responsible as he gives to me, if I'm going to be responsible enough to provide and give my tithes and give my offerings and give toward missions, God is not just providing, he's proving you. He's testing you. He wants to know if you love him, and he wants to know if you trust him. And there's some Christians, listen, I'm not there to see it, but I know it, I've been around long enough, that they don't trust God. You know how I know that? Because their tithe's not being given. And their offerings aren't being given. And they're not supporting missions. And they say, listen, I understand God's program, but I figured out a way that works with my finances. So I'll give so much, and I've got this other organization. I know it's not through my church, but I've got this other organization that I really like, and I've got this other charity that I... You know, do you ever think about this? Wouldn't it be silly if you drove down the road and had a meal at Burger King, and when you finished that meal, you drove over to McDonald's and paid McDonald's for that meal? Wouldn't that be silly? And yet church members do it all the time. You say, how so, Brother Matt? They'll sit in Bible Baptist Church, or they'll sit in their local church and get fed spiritually every Sunday and every Wednesday, and then turn around and pay someone else by giving their money to some other personally chosen charitable organization or some good cause. Folks, listen, if I eat at Burger King, I'm paying Burger King, and I wouldn't recommend it. But whatever restaurant I go to, if I eat there, that's where my money goes. And if you are a member of Bible Baptist Church, here is where you eat. This ought to be where your money goes. If you're being fed here spiritually, and I know your pastor pretty well, he's a Bible teacher and a Bible preacher, and I know you're getting spiritual food, and so when you are fed, the bill ought to go here. And you ought to get involved and you ought to be investing in the work of Bible Baptist Church and the missionaries they're supported out of this church. God provides. He provides in proportion. But I'm telling you folks, you better not miss this. God is providing and He's proving you. Why? To see whether or not. Isn't that what He says in the verse? To see whether or not they'll walk in obedience. That's what, see, it's not just about manna, and it's not just about money. God's testing you. I wonder tonight, folks, and I don't know your heart, and I don't know your life, and I don't know your money, and I don't want to know. It's not my business. But between you and the Lord, how are you doing on this test? Are you passing this test? I mean, folks, when that paycheck comes in, is tithe the first thing going to the Lord? I teach my son Stephen. He likes finances. He likes to work hard. He likes to save money. But from a young age, I told him, hey, that money comes in, you better give it to God right away. Right away, you better give it to God. And he has. I mean, he's 16 years old and he's working a job, and his tithe, I see it, his tithe goes in, his missions go in, it's great. But I remember when he first started doing it, he said to me, Dad, well, I need to have this money. Can't I just do it at the end of the week? I said, Stephen, if you wait till the end of the week, it ain't going to be there. Right? Give to God first. Give to God first. Put Him first in your life. It shows where your heart is, where your priorities are. So watch this. God provides. He provides so in proportion. And then He's proving us along the way. Here's the best part. He then adds His power. Go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I want you to notice this. This is too cool for Sunday school. I love this part. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You look at the words that God, you know, the way the Bible is laid out and the words of Scripture are so powerful if we just listen to them. Notice what he says about this church that did exactly what we're talking about tonight. That as God provided for them, God provided in proportion to them, and he was proving them and testing them all along the way, and when they walked in obedience, as God tested them and they gave in obedience, watch what God did. Look at 2 Corinthians 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, verse 1, are you there? Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How then in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty. We're not talking about rich people here. We're talking about people living in poverty. But they gave out of their poverty. It says, and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. You understand what that verse is saying? They didn't have much money, but they were obedient to give out of that which they had. As God provided for them, though it wasn't a lot, they gave out of what God provided them in proportion, and so God blessed that. And I want you to notice, here it is, verse 3. It's so important. Notice, verse 3. For to their power. Whose power? Their power. For to their power I bear record. Notice, yea, and beyond their power. Watch how God works. Because everything up to this point has been very practical. God provides. He provides in proportion. He's testing us all along the way. And so we're giving. That's our part. It's very practical. It's very natural. We're giving out of what God has. But guess what, folks? We can't do it in our own power. I mean, Bible Baptist Church cannot reach the whole world. But watch what God does. Don't miss this. Watch this. This is what God does. When He sees the people of Bible Baptist Church living in obedience and giving in obedience and faith as much as you can in your power, you know what He does? The natural steps into the supernatural. And God works beyond your power and He adds His power, and that's where that phrase, beyond their power, folks, there's no limit. When you get to that point, there's no limit. Listen to me. There's no limit to what God can do. You do everything, and this is how it works. You do everything in your power. And when you reach the limit of your power and God sees that you've done everything in your power in obedience and faith, you know what God does? He works beyond your power. Isn't that what the Scripture said? And He worked beyond their power. And through that, God provided for His work. Folks, can God not do the same in Bible Baptist Church? Are you with me tonight? Are you here? Are you listening? If God could do it to a bunch of poor churches in Macedonia, and they could give to the work of God, and in their giving, somehow, giving in their poverty, it abounded in liberality? So how'd that happen? Because they did everything in their power, and when God saw their obedience and faith in giving in their power, He worked beyond their power. Boy, I don't know if this is getting across tonight. There's no limit, folks. We are the only limit. But if we'll do everything in our power, you know what your pastor's asking you to do? He's asking you just to do everything in your power. Do what you can. Do as much as you can. And God, when He sees Bible Baptist Church doing everything in its power, God will reach down and He'll do something miraculous. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God can do something miraculous and supernatural beyond your power? It won't happen until each one of us commit to do everything in our power. But boy, I tell you what, when God sees, boy, you put a smile on God's face. If the people of Bible Baptist Church tomorrow turn in those commitments and get engaged and involved in the missions work of this church, there is no limit to what God can do through this church. I'm telling you, folks, God, you can fill up these boards with more missionary letters. God will call young men out of this church. He'll send them forth to other mission fields. He's done it in the past. He still wants to do it now. There's no limit to what God can do, but it all hinges on this. Are we doing what's in our power to do? And then God can work beyond our power. I love that. Beyond their power. You know how many times I've prayed, Lord, work in me. Lord, work through me, and Lord, work beyond me. Because there's so much that God can do beyond my own limitations. Let's stand tonight as we finish. Oh, folks, there's no limit to what God can do. How's it going to happen? It's going to happen when you hit an altar tonight, surrender everything to God and say, God, I'm done fighting. I'm not going to limit You. I'm going to live in obedience. I'm going to live in faith. I'm going to trust You. So I want to challenge you tonight. As the invitation is open, just in a moment, the piano begins to play. I wonder if you'd be willing to step out tonight, get down to this altar. Say, God, I'm willing to do everything in my power because I want to see You work beyond my power. God will do it. God will do it. but only if you're willing. Why don't you just step out right now? Come on, why don't you just step out, get down to this altar, make a decision. Some are coming already. Why don't you step out, get down to this altar. Don't fight God, don't wrestle with God. If God's spoken to your heart, you get down here, you do business with God, you've got a whole year ahead. What is it that God wants you to do? In the area of giving, in the area of soul winning, in the area of personal witnessing, if God's spoken to your heart, why don't you get down to this altar, make a commitment, Lord, I'll do everything in my power because I want to see your power working beyond my power. Father, I pray that you'd have your will and way in this invitation tonight. Help us to be obedient, I pray in Jesus' name.